If you're interested in listening ad-free, go to patreon.com/drnosleep. There you can enjoy my ad-free podcast and never have to listen to ads again. That's patreon.com/drnosleep. Now time for the story.
Dr. Nicely.
Look, I'm not saying you are trying to break into that abandoned high school up on the hill. And I'm not saying you aren't trying to break into it. All I'm saying is, there's only one reason why somebody would be on this side of an overgrown fence at 11:30 p.m. on a Tuesday.
I looked from the old man and his shotgun to the moonlit silhouette of my destination. So close, and now suddenly so far away.
I was just going for a walk,
I mumbled.
I just got lost.
All I had to do was convince him to let me go. Once he was out of sight, I'd loop back around, sneak inside, and then I'd make everything right.
Your eyes keep drifting to the shoddy here. Don't worry, it's just for my protection. And if you gotta wonder, protection from what? You're even more naive than you look. What's your name, boy?
Brett.
I realized I should have given a false name a half second too late. Between the sweat dripping down my back, the grimy itch of the woods on my skin, and the stress of being caught while trespassing, I wasn't thinking clearly.
Good.
Henry nodded.
Now, Brett, my name's Henry. I'm not here to hurt you or get you into any trouble. I'm not a security guard, just a concerned citizen. All I want is for you to hear me out before you go and do what you came here to do.
Henry squinted at me.
What year were you? 07? 08?
2005, I answered.
My son was in the class of 2009.
Henry looked wistfully at the ruins on the hillside.
I graduated in 1978 myself. When they closed the place down in 2012, it was like the end of an era.
Yeah,
I nodded.
Sure was.
A stick snapped beneath my heel as I stepped backwards. I winced.
Listen, Henry, it was nice talking to you. And if you say it's a bad idea to go in there, well, I'll take your word for it.
I raised a hand in farewell. I was running out of time.
Damn it, boy! Do you really think you're the first person who's tried to fix the past? What do you think brought me out here tonight? What do you think happened to my son?
I had no idea what had happened to Henry's son, and honestly, I didn't care. All I knew was that I had less than 20 minutes left to change my life. If I hadn't gone to Maurice's barbecue a few weeks ago, I never would have heard the rumors about my old high school. I would probably still be laying on a mattress on the floor of my basement apartment, trying to fight off the anxiety long enough to fall asleep in time for my shift at the warehouse the next morning. Staring down at the barrel of Henry's shotgun wasn't nearly as intimidating as staring down the barrel of 50 or so more years of the disappointing, mediocre life that I'd made for myself. But according to Maurice, I could fix all that. A couple times a year, Maurice hosted parties for all of our friends from high school. He was the only one who did, the only one who could afford to. Unlike the rest of us, Maurice's life seemed to have just turned out right. It was more than just luck, though. Everyone, from teachers to the girls in our class, had fawned over just how mature Maurice was back in high school. While the rest of us were blowing our fast food wages on brand-named t-shirts and overpriced weed, Maurice was investing in the stock market and learning to flip houses. He treated his dates right, took care of his body, and didn't cause unnecessary drama. 10 years later, the results were clear. Maurice had a house with a swimming pool, a wonderful wife, and all of his teeth. Maybe that's what had brought Maurice and I together. People said that I was mature for my age too, back then, but they meant something different by it. In Maurice's case, they meant that he was going places. In my case, they just meant that I was a weirdo with no friends my own age. Maybe that's what Maurice liked about me. The fact that we could talk about sci-fi, or history, or anything besides high school gossip and sports. Or maybe he just liked that I kept my mouth shut and didn't cause trouble. Whatever the reason, the fact was that Maurice had a closer bond with me than with the other random alumni who showed up at his pool parties. At the time, I thought that was why he chose to tell me his secret. It was late. We'd gotten the last of the drunks into their rides home, and all of our ex-classmates with families had left hours ago. We sat with our backs to the fire beside the glowing turquoise rectangle of the pool, polishing off the last of the beers in Maurice's cooler.
If I could do it again, it would all be different, I slurred. It's like my life got off track somehow. By the time I realized how many things had gone wrong, it was too late to go back. I used to feel that way too,
Maurice admitted.
You? But you have everything.
The envious words were out of my mouth before I could stop myself. But Maurice just smiled.
See, this isn't my first go-around.
Maurice told me everything that night. About how he dropped out sophomore year, burnt through all of his money thanks to a string of bad relationships, and wound up in jail after he'd gotten aggressive with a cop during a routine traffic stop. When those cold metal gates closed behind him, Maurice couldn't see any future for himself. Until he heard the gossip about Elmwood High School. Ever since the place closed down in 2012, rumors had swirled about the strangeness that went on inside, especially in the second-story hallway at midnight on September 24th of each year. According to the legend, if you walked down that hallway at that exact time, you'd walk right back into the first day of your freshman year. You'd go back to the past with all your memories, all your knowledge, and all your experience. You'd have a second chance. A chance to do it right this time. Or so the story said. Maurice didn't think that he had anything left to lose. He slipped through a hole in the overgrown fence, climbed in a shattered first floor window, made his way through the graffiti ruins to the second floor.
And the rest?
Maurice grinned.
Is history.
I never heard anything about Maurice dropping out or going to jail because in my timeline, it had never happened. He changed his fate, and I was about to do the same thing. If only this damn old man would get out of my way.
Listen, Henry.
I forced myself out of my memories and back into the present.
I'm sorry if something bad happened to your son, but... No, you listen.
The shotgun trembled in Henry's hands. There was a mad gleam in his eyes that I didn't like at all.
My son Jamie didn't come up here because he wanted more friends or money. He came up here because of a girl, Amanda Lee. From the moment Jamie met her, he was convinced that they were meant to spend their lives together. As far as I was concerned, she was nothing special. Just another one of those girls you saw everywhere back then, with their tight black jeans, studded belts, chopped up dyed hair. But when she was killed in a car accident senior year, Jamie was devastated. As far as he was concerned, his life was over. He couldn't stop talking about how creative and clever and perfect Amanda had been. It was like part of him had died with her. Then, after the high school closed down a few years later, Jamie started coming up here to reminisce. He'd wander through the ruined hallways, talking to Amanda like she was by his side. I know, because I followed him.
Something moved in the woods beside us. The shotgun snapped up to Henry's shoulder. His face was a mask of pure, wide-eyed terror. What was he so afraid of out there? When Henry finally spoke again, his voice was a hoarse whisper.
Jamie was depressed. We all knew it. I was afraid that if I left him alone up here, they'd find him hanging from the bleachers or laying with his wrists cut in some filthy, piss-reeking, graffiti-covered classroom. He was my son. I couldn't let that happen to him.
Henry drew in a rattling breath.
Besides, in some sick way, it was like Jamie and I were finally spending time together again. Like he was 5 years old, and it was all some twisted game of hide-and-seek. But that's what this place does to you. It messes with your head.
What do you mean?
I asked, taking a step toward Henry. The old man was clearly unhinged, but I figured I had about 4 inches and 50 pounds on him. If only I could get close enough, I could probably grab the barrel of the shotgun and shove him to the ground before he could stop me. And if I hurried,
I still might make it.
There are only so many times you can hear laughter in an abandoned cafeteria and tell yourself it's just the wind. There are only so many times you can see shadows moving on their own and tell yourself it's a trick of the light. The more he came back here, the worse it got. Until the night that she showed up.
Henry shuddered.
Jamie was walking down the second floor hallway, talking to Amanda Lee in that eerie way he had, like she was really there. When the girl herself suddenly walked out of one of those dark classrooms with a big smile on her face, we both froze. Neither of us could believe it. I knew that something was wrong, that this couldn't be real, but Jamie ran to her. I can still see him now, sprinting down that hallway in the moonlight with his arms open wide.
I took another step closer. Henry didn't seem to notice. He was lost in the past.
Of course I chased after him, shouting his name. But in my gut I knew I was already too late. All around me, it was like the whole school was waking up somehow. I could hear voices, lockers slamming, a basketball bouncing somewhere. And the shadows weren't just shadows anymore. They were kids I recognized, classmates of Jamie's, almost. But their hands and their faces.
A horrible memory seemed to come to life before Henry's eyes, but I couldn't wait around to find out what it was. I sprang forward, shoved the shotgun barrel downward, and planted my boot in the middle of Henry's chest. Just as I'd expected, my push sent the scrawny old man tumbling down the hill and left the shotgun in my hand.
Stop, boy!
Henry sputtered from below, trying to untangle himself from the thorn bushes.
You don't know what you're doing! Don't follow me!
I shouted over my shoulder, unnerved by how insane I sounded. I knew exactly what I was doing, I told myself. I was going to get my life back, just like Jamie and Maurice had. The abandoned school called to me like a silver beacon on the hilltop. Its doors were all boarded up or locked with rusted chains. But as I jogged out onto the overgrown parking lot, I saw that some enterprising soul had busted out a window and thrown a wool blanket over the shattered glass, just as Maurice had described. In my phone's dim glow, I saw a wall of dusty, half-broken trophy cases. I'd made it to the lobby, and the time was 11:55. It wasn't too late. As I approached the trophy cases, however, I swear I saw a reflection moving behind me. The closer I got, the clearer it became. A pale, emaciated thing creeping through the darkness. I spun around, heart pounding. But of course, there was nothing there. Only broken beer bottles and dusty papers that rustled ever so slightly, as though something had just walked over them. It's the old man's story, I told myself. I let it get to me, that's all. Or was it the school itself that was playing tricks on me? What was it Henry had said?
This place messes with your head.
A horrible thought crossed my mind. What if he wasn't just a father driven crazy by the loss of his son? What if he was telling the truth? I shook off my fears and walked ahead into the darkness. Maybe this was all just a test, a challenge, to make sure that only the worthy were able to rewrite their histories. My phone light illuminated a staircase on the left. Insulation and wiring hung from the ceiling above it like the entrails of a half-gutted animal. Had there been stairs here before? I couldn't remember. I was starting to understand what Henry had meant about the wrongness of the place. Every time I looked over my shoulder, it felt like eyes were watching me from the lightless corridors. 11:58. I took a deep breath and trudged up the stairs. It hit me like a truck. Axe body spray, dry erase markers, and the dank reek of some stoner's unwashed hoodie, and 100 other scents all long, long forgotten. The unconnected, unpowered intercom suddenly crackled to life. Arnold Leeds, the principal during my freshman year, had died 5 years ago, but there was no mistaking that overly cheery voice. It was happening. I was going back.
That isn't funny, Trent.
I heard a girl's voice yelling around the corner.
Give it back! God, you are such an asshole!
I remembered this argument. Trent Park, basketball star and bully, had stolen some girl's purse. His idea of flirting. I'd bumped into him when he came running down the hallway, thereby cementing my reputation as a buzz-killing loser who was always in the way. But I could change that now.
Brat!
A voice behind me whispered urgently.
Brat!
I didn't want to turn. I didn't want to look. The shadows around me were already coalescing into the shapes of my old classmates. I was almost through.
Brat!
I turned and found myself face to face with the stretched, pale thing I'd seen reflected in the trophy case. But it was no monster. It was Maurice. A starved, horror-aged Maurice with prison tattoos on his neck and hell in his round white eyes. If Maurice, the real Maurice, was still inside of Elmwood High School, then what had I talked to at that pool party? What had me convinced to come here? His chapped lips mouthed a single word at me.
Run!
As the school came to life around me, he slipped back into the darkness. Up ahead, Mr. Hart, the bald, middle-aged science teacher whose strictness I still remembered, was rounding the corner.
The bell has rung!
He shouted, just like he had when I was 14. I was almost relieved to see him, until I noticed how his six clawed fingers drummed on the textbook in his hand. My jaw dropped.
What are you staring at?
The hellish thing that almost looked like my science teacher sneered.
Get to class, mister.
Miss Laneway's English class had been my first period of the day back then. But when I looked through the doorway of her classroom, what I saw stopped me in my tracks. It wasn't the sight of my old classmates, just as I remembered them. No. It was the way they all sat at perfect attention, staring at the weird symbols drawn on the chalkboard. Tears of blood flowed down their cheeks, and when their faces all snapped toward me at once, I could see that their crimson eye sockets were empty. I jumped as a heavy hand squeezed my shoulder. The high school basketball star's cologne was thick as ever, but there was another scent there too. Something sweeter and more rotten.
Trent!
I gasped. It was a face that I never would have imagined I'd be glad to see. But at least he looked normal, not like the rest of them.
Man, what's going on here? Everyone is...
I realized with horror that my voice was cracking. Whatever process was sending me back in time or back to somewhere else was picking up speed. Lights continued to flicker on in the hallway. With every second that passed, there was less and less of that empty darkness that represented the world I'd come from.
Freshman.
Trent finally spoke with a toothy grin.
Fresh meat.
My old bully's mouth stretched from ear to ear. The foul odor I'd been smelling was the chunks of flesh stuck between his hundreds of jagged teeth. I screamed, a high-pitched sound that I hadn't heard in years, and raised the shotgun instinctively. Everyone and everything was watching me now, waiting to see what I'd do. Some of them even tiptoed closer. I ran for the darkness at the far end of the hallway. The rest of them pursued. I caught only glimpses as I sprinted for my life. Leslie, a cheerleader who'd laughed in my face when I asked her out, was skittering along the ceiling with her head twisted around backwards, mouth open hungrily. Thomas, a quiet boy who I'd done a few group projects with, laughed his head off as he chased me on all fours like a beast of prey. They were the people I knew, almost. But now that they were chasing me, it was no longer possible to hide their horns, hooves, teeth, and other worse things. I blasted away randomly with Henry's shotgun until it was empty, then skidded onto the staircase just as its darkness was transforming into light. The morning announcements were playing overhead when I jumped into the darkness. Pain shot through my legs as I slammed into the filth-covered tile. I was back to my own world and the darkness of the first floor, but I could still hear the insane gibbering of my pursuers. If I turned around now, what would I see? I didn't wait to find out. I just ran. I vaulted through the broken window and battered my way through the thorn bushes with the butt of the shotgun, wondering where Henry had gone. I was just about to call his name when I saw him. He was splayed in the moonlight, blood pooling behind his cracked skull like a halo of darkness. Maurice and another young man who I assumed to be Jamie stood over him, chittering to each other in a horrible language that sounded an awful lot like the one spoken by the horrors that had hunted me down the corridors of Elmwood High. Henry hadn't been coming here because his son had disappeared. He'd been coming here because his son had disappeared and been replaced by something else. Suddenly, the pair lifted their heads, ears at attention. They had heard the inhuman cries coming from the school behind me. They exchanged a dark glance and headed up the hill. I lay panting in the mud, afraid to move even long after they left. Something told me that the things inside of Elmwood High couldn't leave. Not until they replaced one of us, anyway. But Maurice and Jamie would definitely be back. And if they caught me? I slunk back to the fence and cut myself to ribbons climbing over it. And I had a bad feeling that those things could smell blood. I felt the emptiness of Henry's shotgun with every step I took. To make matters worse, a pre-dawn fog had settled in, making it hard to see my way back to where I parked. In the hazy glow of the streetlights, I spotted two dark shapes running toward me. Maurice and Jamie. The dark shape of my car was barely visible up ahead. I sprinted to it, slid behind the wheel, and sped off without another look back. With Maurice, Jamie, and who knew how many other Elmwood alumni on my trail, I couldn't go back to my basement apartment. I knew their secret, and they wouldn't stop until I was killed, like Henry, or replaced, like Jamie. Maurice had been right about one thing. Visiting my old high school had changed my life, but not in the way that I'd expected. I'd gone hunting for the past, and now, the past was hunting for me. Hey guys, thanks for listening. I want to give you all a quick heads up regarding some upcoming political ads you may start hearing leading up to this year's presidential election. These ads do not represent my own political viewpoint. So if you hear a political ad play on the podcast and it's not in my own voice, then it has absolutely nothing to do with me personally as a podcaster. Thank you again for being a dedicated listener of mine, and I can't wait to have another amazing year with you guys. I'll see you in the next episode.